Matthew chapter 6, and let's look at that verse together, 33. The late American Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes was famous in America for travelling the vast distances around the country by train. And on one particular occasion, the conductor came through the long-distance train collecting tickets. And Holmes became increasingly distraught because he couldn't locate his. He was searching all his pockets and he couldn't find the ticket. Now, because he was such a well-known man, the Chief Justice of the country, the conductor tried to console him by saying, "Mr. Holmes, don't worry, we know who you are. If you're really bothered about this, I trust you. Just post the ticket in later." But it didn't console him at all. He just got more agitated, still looking through all his pockets, until finally he said, "My dear man, that's not my problem. I need my ticket because I can't remember where I'm going." And like Mr. Holmes, we all need to know where we're going. Where are you going? The first Sunday in the new year is a great opportunity, as we've done in the act of recommitment, to pause and think, where am I going? Where is my life headed? And that's why I thought we'd look at this verse today, Matthew 6, 33. If you want a motto for the year, if you want a verse to write out and stick above your mirror so every morning when you shave or get washed you can see it, this would be a good one, a motto to live by, to set your priorities right in this year. Matthew 6, 33. Speaking of God the Father. "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." This verse in its context gives us three commands. If we're going to set our priorities right and get our priorities straight in 2014. Three commands. Three things to do in 2014. Sorry, Roger, I think it's got stuck. Can you click it on? Because the first is to search for God. I want to say this to all of us, but particularly this morning, if you're not yet a Christian, I would urge you to set that as your number one priority for this year. I'm going to use this year, 2014, to search for God. To investigate it for yourself. Don't blindly accept what other people don't accept it just because I tell you I'm a church minister, but equally, don't accept it just because clever people on the radio or TV say so. Investigate it for yourself. I know many people in this church have already done the Christianity Explored course, which is put there especially for that reason. I'm sure we'll run others in the future. Likewise, next Sunday morning, as I've said already, we're going to start a new series looking at the parables in Luke's Gospel, the teaching of Jesus. This series is put on especially to give you the opportunity to investigate the claims of Jesus. So come along, invite your friends. But don't just stop there. Keep on searching. If God really exists, then it's worthwhile to engage in honest inquiry. Ask hard questions. Don't just accept things if you find things hard to accept or you don't understand. Ask questions. Don't be embarrassed. Whenever my wife and I are involved in preparing couples for marriage, we always facilitate asking those really hard questions before they get married. Because, of course, it's crazy to make those kind of serious lifelong promises unless you know what you're letting yourself in for. Some years ago, I remember sadly a friend of mine telling me that he was going to leave his wife, he was going to go back to a former girlfriend. And when I challenged him about this, I'll never forget his response. I asked him about the promises he made. He said, "God doesn't hold us to foolish promises." And I remember thinking, wait a minute. I was at your wedding. There was no one with a gun to your head making you make those promises. When we make serious promises, we need to look into it and check it out carefully. Because once we've made that promise, it's too late. We're called to keep our word. And so it is with following Jesus. What I want to say at the start of this year is that Christianity is not for the half-hearted. It's for the totally committed. I've been reading, I'm partway through a book about the life of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German Lutheran pastor in the Second World War. He's got lots of great quotes. Here's one of them I came across again recently. Bonhoeffer's call: when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Now, if the Christian gospel really is that serious and that important, if Christianity really is a matter of life and death, this is not something you go into half-heartedly. This is something that you should pause and reflect upon and think, am I really up for this? But once you've done that, you're committed. So I want to say, when investigating Christ, look into it seriously. Don't sign up for this if you're not ready. Make sure you read the small print. Because it's significant that what Jesus says here in Matthew 6:33 is addressed to disciples only. This passage from Matthew 6 we've just read comes from a bigger part of teaching from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 to 7, which is known as the Sermon on the Mount, because in Matthew chapter 5 it begins with Jesus going up onto a mountaintop, and then these next chapters records what he taught the crowds as he was there. Although I say crowds, it wasn't the crowds. Matthew 5, Matthew is very specific, he records that what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount was addressed to his disciples. Now, I don't think we should read too much into that. I don't think we should necessarily think that all those on the mountainside were what we would call Christians today. But it is significant that this command Jesus gives here in Matthew 6:33 is addressed to those who have already committed themselves to following Jesus. This is for Christians. So use this year searching for God. But realize that you will have to come to a point where you need to make a decision. Is this true? In which case it demands my life, or it isn't, in which case why am I bothering with it? See, verse 24 of chapter 6 tells us that we cannot serve two masters. In fact, much of the Sermon on the Mount is all about who are you going to decide to follow. The only thing you get sitting on the fence is splinters up the backside. So Jesus challenges again and again, make up your mind. Take your time if you want to. I hope no one in this church will ever pressurize you into making any decision for Jesus. Take your time, but you do have to choose. With Jesus, you can't just keep putting it off. You have to come to a point where, am I going to follow Jesus? And if I am, it is going to take everything. It's a wholehearted commitment Christ calls for. But in all of this, I'll never forget that God is on our side, in the sense that in this searching, he's not hiding. This is not a game of hide and seek where he's making it difficult for you to find him. Now, in the passage that we've just read, he is described as our heavenly Father. In Matthew chapter 7, he's described as a loving Father who loves to give his children good gifts. He wants to be found. So there in Matthew 7, Jesus says, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Don't give up. Because he promises, if you search for him, you will find him. So let's all commit ourselves this year to search for God. But let's move on. Assuming either that you are a Christian or that you want to become one, what does Jesus tell us to do? Well, if we're putting this verse 33 into practice, we need to put God first in 2014. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek is a present imperative there. In other words, it refers to an unceasing quest. It's not one day, today, seek God. It's keep on seeking God for the rest of your life. Our life's goal is to put God first. So if you want to do that, if you want to put God first in your life, then here he gives us two very simple priorities. That means seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And I find it particularly helpful to think in those terms because it helps us to address all sorts of questions when it comes to priorities with our lives and church. For example, one question that churches are often thinking through is, what should we invest our energy and our time into? Should it all be about evangelism or social action, doing good in the community? Well, think about what a kingdom is, first of all. A kingdom describes the region where a king or a monarch reigns. And so in the New Testament, when people like Jesus talk about God's kingdom, he's not thinking so much about a geographical or a spatial term, but the place where the king reigns, the place where subjects submit to the authority of the king. And that means if we're to seek his kingdom spreading, we've got to tell people about submitting to the king. We want our friends and our families, we pray for those we love, to come under the rule of the king. So that means that the only way someone can join Christ's kingdom is by accepting him as their king. I cannot become a citizen of Christ's kingdom by just behaving like other citizens. It doesn't work like that. One of the strangest things that I've ever done was become an Australian citizen. Because as part of the ceremony, myself and Emily had to swear an oath of allegiance to the Queen. We're in this room and there's a great big photo of Her Majesty, and we have to swear an oath of allegiance to the Queen. And as I'm standing, I'm thinking, but she's my Queen already. But I'll do it again if you want. Now, I also, as part of that ceremony, had to promise to accept and abide by the laws of Australia. But I hope you can see that actually the laws come second, don't they? You only accept the laws of a land if you've already accepted the authority of the legislative body that makes those laws. So, too, if our goal is to seek God's kingdom, evangelism has got to be a top priority, hasn't it? Because the only way people can enter into the kingdom is by being told the good news, by repenting, and that means turning around and putting Jesus as their king, swearing an oath of allegiance to him. Now, there are all sorts of good reasons why we should be involved in social justice. We're going to think about those in a moment. But if all we do is work for God's justice in the world, what in effect we're doing is saying, well, it's a bit like saying you can become a UK citizen by just behaving like a Brit. Now, maybe we should go over to Romania and Bulgaria and just say, put a bowler hat on, drink tea, eat cucumber sandwiches, and you're in. But it doesn't work that way, does it? No, if seeking God's kingdom is a top priority in my life, then what I'm always doing is calling people around me to swear an oath of allegiance to Christ as their king. And that means speaking. It means I'm going to have to explain the gospel to them. That's got to be a top priority in my life and in my church if seeking God's kingdom is a priority. However, we don't just seek his kingdom, we seek his righteousness too. It means I'm not just going to call God my king, I'm going to live under his rule. So it means, as you just thought, I don't engage in acts of compassion towards the poor because I think social action will somehow bring them into the kingdom. But I do get involved because that's how citizens of the kingdom live. It's God's righteousness. So increasingly, if that's a priority, I am going to want to seek my life to increasingly conform to his standards of righteousness. The word righteousness could also be translated justice. If I seek his righteousness, I seek his justice. And the Bible has a lot to say about societies caring for widows and orphans, about correcting injustice in this world. So, if I seek God's kingdom, I want to tell people the good news about Jesus. But if I seek God's righteousness, I give to the food bank or whatever. Those are my priorities in 2014. But one thing we must never forget in putting this all together, what we seek above all is his kingdom and his righteousness. His not mine. Because there is a real danger in having this annual act of recommitment Sunday, and that is, it turns into another New Year's resolution. You know, the thing you promise on New Year's Day and you break on January the 2nd. Because then it's all about my righteousness. You know, I want to give up chocolate so I can lose weight. But the real aim in that is so that I look better, so that people are impressed with my self-discipline. But if that's your thinking, I've got to tell you some bad news today, and that is, God is not interested in your righteousness. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, has a special word for what God thinks of your righteousness. The only problem is I'm too polite to say it. So this is not about pulling ourselves up by our bootlaces, that if I can just sort of take a deep breath and just exert more willpower, I will be a better person this year. Not at all. No, this is about seeking to get to know Him. Seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, is ultimately seeking Christ, the source of our strength, as we've already said in our act of commitment. Most of all, it is about growing in our relationship with Jesus. And if that is the case, I want to make a really good suggestion. This is a good New Year's resolution you might want to make. How about committing to spend some time getting to know Christ through the Scriptures every day this year? Karen, our children's and families worker, gets lots of Bible reading notes from the Good Book Company, and very helpfully, they've got some freebies. They've literally given a whole lot of these out free as a sort of a trial. If you, maybe you don't, it's, I know a lot of you do it already, so you just carry on. But if you don't do this, here's a little booklet. I say it's free. I've got about 10 copies, first come, first served. It's just a month, so literally 4 weeks, 28 days. And you just, on the first day, it's very simple. There's a little page there. You just commit 15 minutes. All you have to do is it tells you which bit of the Bible to read. There's a bit of an explanation about things you would think about, what that passage might teach you to engage with, and then some things to pray. Really, really simple. Why don't you just take one as a sort of a trial, and then maybe you might want to buy the rest throughout the year. And just as a priority, say in 2014, I'm going to commit to get to know God better, to seek God first. And I'm going to do that by just making a priority. Just 15 minutes. It could be in the morning or at night. And here's a tool, as I say, first come, first serve. You can get apps on your iPad or your iPhone. There's all sorts of... If you want to make it a priority, it can be done. Now, if I miss a day, I don't beat myself up about it. But I do know that if my priority is getting to know God, then I'm going to do things that help me get to know God. It's not rocket science. Remember the tennis balls. If I make these things a priority, the other stuff will just fit in around it. See, what I tend to review something like Recommitment Sunday as the spiritual equivalent of getting the compass out. As any venture scout will know, orienteering involves getting your compass out. You look at your map and you get your compass up, you take a bearing and you know you've got to go in that direction, and you pick a distant spot, maybe it's a tall tree or a mountain point or something, and you walk towards that. But what you mustn't do is forget every couple of miles or so to get your compass out while you're walking through trees and undergrowth, etc., to just check if you are still heading in the right direction, that you haven't drifted off course. And really, that's what we're doing this morning. If you've been around a church for any length of time, I doubt if anything I'm saying this morning is particularly new or revolutionary. It's very simple stuff. But that is the point. I know this stuff already, but I need to remind myself regularly because my life keeps drifting off track. If you ask me what are the priorities you should have, I'm sure I'll give you the right answer. But I keep drifting off track, so I regularly, like today, need to get the compass out and remind myself where my priorities are, where I should be heading. See, that's what makes the difference between a New Year's resolution that you break on the 2nd of January and Recommitment Sunday. Over the Christmas break, I've read various articles about this. Business gurus as well, secular writers, they all say the same thing. How to be successful in 2014. And it's the difference between a goal and a system. See, we tend to resolve, for example, we might make a resolution like, I'm going to lose 1 kilogram by the end of February. And we fail, because after a week we weigh ourselves and we give up because we're doing so badly. But instead, what we should do, instead of setting that specific goal of I'm going to lose a certain amount by a certain time, what we should instead do is commit ourselves to eating healthily. Commit yourself to a healthy eating system. That's what we should be doing. And so, if you decide today I'm going to do half an hour of reading the Bible every single day, well, the first day you miss it, you're going to become despondent, you'll probably give up. So don't do that. Instead, resolve, I want to seek God. I'm going to put into place systems that help me to that end of growing in my relationship with Christ. And then go for it. And then at regular intervals, get the compass out and see how the system is going. If the priorities are on course, or if you've slipped off course, as we all do. So number one, in 2014, search for God. Number two, put God first. And that simply means seeking his kingdom first and his righteousness first. But having done all that, there's some really good encouraging news to finish with. Jesus says, chill out a bit in 2014 too. Or as the Australians would say, no worries. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's like with the sand, don't sweat the small stuff. If you get your priorities right, everything else will just fall into place. See, that's why we read the context. The context that Jesus says these words in verse 33, he is talking about worry. We just stop worrying about everything and put God first instead. As it says in verse 34 so helpfully, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, of course, we've got to be careful how we apply this. Some of us don't worry about anything. And let's be honest, that's laziness. We do need to worry about the important things. We've seen those priorities. It's right to worry, if that's the right word, about God's righteousness and his kingdom. However, these words are spoken to the vast majority of us who worry about everything. In fact, I'm pretty sure that right now there are people in this room who are now worrying about whether they worry too much. And I want to say, if that's you, then come along tonight, because at 6:30 p.m. we're going to look at the same verse again in its context, specifically addressing that issue of worry. But if you can't wait till then, Jesus' message is pretty simple. Keep calm and carry on trusting God. See, if God's in charge of your life, he knows exactly what you need. And notice that's what verse 33. There's no promise of luxuries here. God does not promise you'll get everything you want, everything you need. Put God first and don't sweat the small stuff. It will just, like the sand, fall into place. Trust him. Stop worrying about what might happen and what might not happen. Get the priorities right and trust him. So today, why not you? I suggest you might even do it this afternoon. We're going to have a specific time in the service this evening where you could do it if you come along tonight. Why don't you get out a bit of paper and write down some simple goals for 2014. Simple things. Don't aim for the sky necessarily. Just simple practical steps. Like the Peanuts cartoon when Charlie Brown is worried. He's really worried. He's got a pitch in baseball and he's going up to the mound. Lucy gives him this helpful advice. Just walk up to the mound without falling over. Okay, maybe our goals are a bit too easy sometimes. But that is the sentiment of what Jesus is saying here. Just take one day at a time. Look, tomorrow is going to have enough troubles, enough worries of its own. Just get the priorities right and live each day as it comes. And then, just do it. 2014, sponsored by Nike. Just do it. And I'm going to say this mostly to myself. It's a personality trait. I've got to confess, I was not a great student. I was not a model of character as a student, because particularly when it came to exams, one of my favourite pastimes during exam revision was making revision timetables. I'm not particularly artistic, and yet I would spend hours designing this wonderful chart and colouring in all, calculating exactly to within percentages of the right proportion to revise each subject and colouring each one. And I would take so many hours doing that that at the end of that morning or whatever, I would then have to redo it because actually I'd used one chunk of a subject, and so it goes on. Well, don't spend 2014 like that. Don't dream up these wonderful goals and then just spend the rest of the year saying, aren't those goals wonderful, and dreaming about them. Once you've made those priorities, don't stress them, but just get on with it. Just do it. So Matthew 6:33 gives us a wonderful sort of compass, reorientation, refocus, recommitment for the year. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And that means three simple things. This is our priority for this year. Search for God. Put God first. And then no worries. Let's pray.